writings are so important to us, and her speaking, and her life of faith, and her prayer. She always kept her focus on people. The Catholic worker movement, a couple of the buzzwords of the movement were anarchism and personalism. And for her, anarchism meant the person who took personal responsibility. And I have a book here called The Book of Ammon. Ammon Hennessy, not a relation to myself, came to Salt Lake City in the early 1960s and started a Catholic worker house. He named it Joe Hill House. Also, he had the name St. Joseph's Refuge. And Ammon met with mixed success with his efforts at a Catholic worker house of hospitality here in Salt Lake City. But I really would like to read to you, there's a beautiful introduction to this book written by Dorothy in 1953. And she describes Ammon as an anarchist. And this may help us to clarify that definition of an anarchist. I hope I can find this. He refused to pay federal income taxes. This did not mean disobedience, since he is ready and has always proved himself to be ready to go to jail, to accept the alternative for his convictions. He is open and frank in his dealings with all men and far from skulking and hiding in fear. He proclaims his point of view by letter, by article, by picketing, and by public fasting. Many of his tax statements appear in this book, and many an account of his picketings. He has done it so often now since the last war that his fellow workers, Dave Dellinger and I, have begged him to condense and combine to shorten this book, to no avail. The book is very thick. She gives a little description of his work. He came to the Catholic worker. He converted to Catholicism because of Dorothy and his experience there. But he was a true anarchist. He was called the one-man revolution. He asked permission from the, well, I don't know if it was permission, but I was reading through some letters today in Anne's archives where he was informing the bishop that he would like to open this house and the purpose of the house. And he received a very curt response, where his vision of the Sermon on the Mount and the teachings of Christ did not seem to fit in with the history of Salt Lake City. And the words that were used by one of the hierarchy back in New York used the term, the Catholic worker is contrary to the ecclesiastic teachings and practice. And so Dorothy forever held the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes up as the foundation of what our work as Christians should be. I will just tell you a little bit about myself and my life at Mary House. I was out of the Catholic faith in my 20s and 30s and 40s. I confessed this to Father Carly, and he gave me a slap on the wrist. But my first spiritual director had a beautiful way of putting this. I told him of my great sadness of having been away from the church and having thrown out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak, in terms of my difficulty with some of the aspects, not of the church itself, but of the people involved. And so my first spiritual director said, "Don't worry, you didn't leave the arms of the church. You simply fell asleep in the arms of the church." And that gave me great solace indeed. But my work at Mary House is a challenge, a daily challenge. We house perhaps 25 people, and half of them are homeless women, and half of them are volunteers. And sometimes that line between volunteer and guest becomes quite blurred. Dorothy often spoke of the people who come to the Catholic worker are all people in need. We're all there to come for clarification of who we are and what our lives, you know, should be used for. And so I am very, very grateful. opportunity to practice the works of mercy in this particular setting of the homeless. We provide soup 4 days a week. We have a clothing room. We provide showers. And this work cannot be done without daily prayer, without daily practice of understanding and study of the scripture. Another important component to this work is resistance. And this is a very controversial aspect of the Catholic Work movement in Dorothy's life. She went to jail on several occasions. And she resisted war, she resisted unjust laws. They spent 6 years from 1955 to 1961 protesting the air raid drills in New York, preparation for nuclear warfare, which she found to be utterly incomprehensible. And so I have learned a lot from what she practiced and the walk that she walked in terms of how we stand up nonviolently to injustice. And I have had the chance to travel around the world. I've traveled in the Middle East. I've traveled in Afghanistan, Iraq, Egypt, Iran. I have traveled to the enemy. A very important part of our practice of Christianity is love of enemy. What does that mean? What does that look like? And in the Middle East, I found myself closer to God than in my own country, and I know that that's difficult to explain or comprehend. But the call to prayer 5 times a day, the voice is rising up to the sky in gratitude and adoration of God, just moved me tremendously. I spent this most recent Holy Week fasting. I fasted for 7 days and sat and vigiled and prayed at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And my community sent a letter to Cardinal Dolan before I undertook this fast. He is very favorable to this canonization process of Dorothy Day. And we respectfully reminded him of her work of pacifism and nonviolence, following the nonviolent Jesus. And we asked for a louder voice from the pulpit to address our situation of permanent warfare, permanent war economy. And by the end of the week, I have not yet heard from him, but by the end of the week, I realized that this exercise was not about me getting a response from the cardinal. This exercise was about me, myself. And how do we tame our own imperialistic urgings, our own internal battle? And I found that this fast was very liberating for me to have the privilege of seeing people come into the cathedral with absolute, absolute devotion. It brought me so much closer to my church to have participated in this fast. So I am ever grateful. This is this journey of faith for all of us is just a lifelong endeavor. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't feel gratitude towards my mother and my grandmother for casting me upon this sea. I would like to finish with a component of Dorothy's speech that was given in Union Square. Her words are so challenging to us, but also so beautiful. And this speech was given in November 1965. And I hope I can find it amongst my papers. It is not just Vietnam. It is South Africa. It is Nigeria, the Congo, Indonesia, all of Latin America. It is not just the pictures of all the women and children who have been burnt alive in Vietnam, or the men who have been tortured and died. It is not just the headless victims of the war in Colombia. It is not just the words of Cardinal Archbishop Hanlon. It is the fact that whether we like it or not, we are Americans. It is indeed our country, right or wrong, as the Cardinal said in another context. We are warm and fed and secure, aside from occasional muggings and murders among us. We are the nation the most powerful, the most armed, and we are supplying arms and money to the rest of the world, where we are not ourselves fighting. We are eating while there is famine in the world. Scripture tells us that the picture of judgment presented to us by Jesus is of Dives sitting and feasting with his friends, with Lazarus, while Lazarus sat hungry at the gate, the dogs, the scavengers of the east, licking his sores. We are the Dives. Woe to the rich. We are the rich. The works of mercy are the opposite of the works of war. Feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, nursing the sick, visiting the prisoner. But we are destroying crops, setting fire to entire villages and to the people in them. We are not performing the works of mercy, but the works of war. We cannot repeat this enough. Thank you.